You are Locked On Dodgers, your daily Los Angeles Dodgers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Join walking baseball encyclopedia Paul Francis Sullivan, please call him Sully, every day on Locked On MLB for a unique look at the majors, both present and past, featuring exciting guest interviews, routine check-ins from the Locked On MLB Network's team of local experts, and insightful analysis of the day's biggest stories. Locked On MLB is the single best source for daily baseball talk. Subscribe today wherever you get your podcasts.
So I say D, I say D-O, D-O-D, D-O-D-G, D-O-D-G-E-R-S-T.
Hello, Dodger fans. Welcome to Locked On Dodgers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, the number one local sports daily podcast network. Locked On, your team every day. This is the daily podcast covering the world champion Los Angeles Dodgers, bringing you the smart fans' perspective on our boys in blue. I am Jeff Snyder of Baseball Essential, along with Vince Samperio of Chavez Ravine Fiends. Vince, we refer to them as the world champion Los Angeles Dodgers, but the Padres won their fifth World Series of the season tonight.
Yeah, congrats to the Padres. They are almost catching up to the Dodgers in the terms of World Series won. And yeah, just not a great start to the series overall. Bad offense, bad pitching. At least the defense, I guess, wasn't terrible. So there's one shining light.
Yep, Dodgers lost the first game of the series 6-2. But after the first inning, it was 2-2. So they tied it for the last eight innings of the game. But unfortunately, they count all nine. So goes as a loss in the. In the record book, Dodgers will be ahead of the Padres in the standings no matter what happens in this series. But obviously, hopefully they can bounce back. We're going to talk a little bit about this game. We're going to talk about Julio's struggles recently and on Monday night specifically, how that might or might not relate to sticky stuff. Talk about Yu Darvish and also maybe sticky stuff too. Talk about some news about who's coming back soon. And going to talk maybe about... having some perspective and how we deal with losses like this that are frustrating. So that's the plan for today. First, we want to remind you, please follow or subscribe to Locked On Dodgers wherever you get your podcasts. And when you get in your car or sit on your couch, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Dodgers. All right, so let's talk about this game, Vince. Julio, after four batters, it was 4-0. He went double walk, double home run. And that was basically the game, unfortunately. And we had seen how Darvish has looked against the Dodgers so far this year. Not like they were out of the game, and they even had chances a little bit later in the game. Maybe we'll talk about that. But it's not promising to be down 4-0 after four batters. And unfortunately, it's a little bit of a trend for Julio. He's been struggling a little bit lately.
Yeah, and it hasn't been great in the last five starts or so. He's only gone six innings, and one of those starts has given up at least three runs. And half of those starts with the clunker against the Giants and then a clunker of sorts yesterday. ERA is just a shade under four at 3.99 now. It's just, not ideal situation for him. The one thing I did see mentioned and that, we hadn't talked about before, he's at 88 innings now this season. That's the most he's ever thrown in the major leagues. Over the course of a whole season, he's thrown more than 88 innings. This is the most he's ever thrown in the major league so far in his career, and we're only in June. So, not sure if there's a little wall there, a little fatigue there. He did come into camp in the best shape of his life, as the cliche goes, but it's still a different beast when you're going a full season and, after grinding through the postseason last year and everything else. So that could be part of that, sticky stuff situation. That could also be part of it. Some of this slide coincides with that, but it doesn't go back as far as when his struggles first started. So, and the thing with him, I think Chad Moriyama tweeted that his spin rates, I don't think they've been ridiculous like anyway up or down or anything. They've kind of been always the same, so at least in that sense hopefully it is, but in the sense of him maybe being tired, that's not a great thing, especially for the Dodgers right now, who don't have starting pitching depth after Tony Gonsolin said that his shoulder took him a little while to get going on Sunday.
Yeah, and it's another case where we have to differentiate maybe between the two different kinds of sticky stuff. You've got the sticky stuff, the really sticky stuff that's there to increase your spin rate. And you've got the sunscreen and rosin mixture that's there for grip. And, you know, Julio's spin rates not being that much different or that big a deal maybe indicates that he's not using the really sticky stuff, but not being able to use anything at all, including the sunscreen and rosin, could lead, you know, you wouldn't see it in the spin rates, but you might see it in the command. And it seemed like we were seeing some command issues from Julio. He wasn't able to, I mean, he gave up a home run to a lefty on his slurve. That's not something we see very often at all. He didn't seem to be commanding many of his pitches. You know, he had some bright spots in the game, but for the most part, the command wasn't there. And that seems like possibly a sunscreen and rosin issue. And we saw on the other side, Yu Darvish in the first inning, I counted at least five times that he went to the rosin bag, just that the camera picked up. It was probably twice that many that he went. And pretty clear that Yu Darvish was adjusting to not having the same stuff. He threw a lot more fastballs than he does a lot of the time. Later in the game, as he got a better feel for it, it seemed like he was mixing in some of those other pitches. But early in the game, it seemed like the Dodgers missed an opportunity because he wasn't commanding the ball. He was throwing more fastballs because it seemed like he was maybe a little uncomfortable without his sticky stuff.
Yeah, that was kind of the annoying part early on, is they were getting a lot of fastballs. And you know, his fastball tops out in around 97, which isn't ridiculously fast, at least for this day and age. You know, Dodgers guys should be able to catch up to it. Weren't able to do so. And then against the left-handers, the young left-handers, McKinstry and Rex, he was just breaking them down and in with the slider once he got it working. But yeah, the other thing on Julio, you know, I don't want to make it a big deal, but I know it wasn't that hot down there in San Diego, but it was probably warmer than it had been before. And Julio's arms are usually really wet, like really like sweaty a lot. And, you know, I don't know if that's the case of maybe he does put sunscreen and then works up a sweat. And then, you know, that combination plus the rosin bag is enough for him to maybe find that grip that he usually likes. So, you know, that might be one thing to monitor, check Julio's forearm sweat the rest of the way, but we'll see what happens. You know, maybe he'll figure it out. The Dodgers, like I said, I don't know if they're gonna make a move anytime soon, but ideally it would seem like now's the time to either bring up a guy for a spot start or pick up a guy who can make some spot starts, because a lot of these younger guys, you know, Gonsolin hurting a little bit, Julio have not really thrown this much this early in the season. And then just giving other guys a little bit of rest after throwing multiple times of 100-plus pitches for some of these other starters.
Yeah, absolutely. Going into the year, we talked about how with all the Dodgers starting rotation depth, it seemed likely that we would see some phantom IL stints saying, okay, you get a couple weeks off now. And that depth disappeared with the injuries to Gonsolin in May and Price being kind of ensconced in the relief role. And so they haven't had that luxury. So it might be time, like you said, get an innings eater, even if it's not, you know, Max Scherzer, who I want them to go get, getting somebody so that you can limit Julio's innings, give him a phantom IL stint or something, you know, to slow things down. It's a bummer for Josiah Gray that he's not healthy right now. Obviously, Mitch White might have been an option there at times, but he's probably not right now. So I don't know what they're going to do, but, you know, we'll see what happens, but the first day of the sticky stuff enforcement era definitely didn't go the Dodgers' direction.
Yeah, I mean, nobody got caught, so that's a good sign. The rest of the guys that came in after that looked pretty decent, so that's another good sign. Joe Kelly, I thought Fernando Tatis was going to run and give Joe Kelly some sticky stuff to put on, because he almost ate 100-mile-an-hour fastball right on the elbow, and he doesn't wear an elbow pad. That would have been potentially very dangerous for the Padres. So if I was the Padres, I would give Fernando Tatis Jr. an elbow pad right now.
Yeah, and we're going to see some hitter injuries, unfortunately, because of this. So, yeah. All right, we'll be back in a minute to talk about some of the reinforcements that are on the way for the Dodgers. So keep it locked on Dodgers. Decades of data show that investors who trade individual stocks underperform the market every single year. In fact, only 1% of day traders beat the market. The odds are not in your favor if you're doing it alone. Team up with Wealthfront instead. Wealthfront can create a portfolio of globally diversified, low-cost index funds personalized just for you in minutes. There's no manual trades, no picking stocks, no watching the stock market every day. They automatically handle all the investing based on preferences you control, and Wealthfront can even help you lower the taxes you pay as you invest. For the average client, their tax loss harvesting can more than cover the low annual 0.25% advisory fee. Best of all, it's automatic. Wealthfront is trusted with over $20 billion of assets, and you can get your first $5,000 managed for free by going to wealthfront.com/lockedonMLB. All you need is $500 to get started. Grow your wealth the easy way and let Wealthfront do the work for you. To get your first $5,000 managed for free for life, go to wealthfront.com/lockedonMLB. That's WEALTHFRONT.com/lockedonMLB. Go to wealthfront.com/lockedonMLB and get started today. All right, so Zach Rex, friend of the show, former guest here on Locked On Dodgers, got called up on Monday. Sounds like he got the call on Sunday that he was going to be coming up, made his major league debut on Monday, and it might be a short-lived stint in the big leagues because, according to Dave Roberts before the game on Monday, he said that Max Muncy will be in the lineup today on Tuesday and that Bellinger should be in the lineup on Wednesday. So that means that we have two roster spots. And, you know, we talked last week, I think, on the whatever locker room is called now. What's it called?
Spotify Green Room.
Yeah. We talked about what the likely moves are when Seager and Bellinger and Muncy all come back. And the obvious ones, we said, were Souza and Burns and a pitcher. Well, Rex took a pitcher spot. He took him into a set of spots. So now replace that with Rex. So those three guys, Souza, Burns, and Rex, are the obvious guys to go down when the three big hitters come back. And with two of them coming back in the next 2 days, that means two of those moves have to happen. And it seems like with the first in for, or last in, first out principle, seems like Rex might not even make it on the active roster to Thursday when I'm at Dodger Stadium watching the Dodgers play.
It was interesting to see him get called up, and it could be, you know, just a matter of him just literally playing in last night's game, and that's it. The other only interesting thing is, you know, well, Souza, I'm assuming, is out of options because he's been in the league a few years before, or is out of options. I mean, because the Dodgers have a stretch where they don't face a they're facing Blake Snell tonight, but they don't face another lefty. I don't think the Cubs have any lefties in their starting rotation, so they wouldn't face a lefty starter the rest of the week, which wouldn't lend to Souza staying around. But like I said, I think they kind of want to get an extended look at him, see what they have with him, and see if he can be that right-handed bat off the bench, which means that Rex and Burns would be the guys. The other part too is that, you know, they used Phil Bickford for two innings. They used a couple guys that they maybe didn't think they were going to use last night's game, and they could call up another arm. I'm not sure what other arms they have. Mitch White and Uceda have both gone down in the last couple of days, and you know, barring injury, they wouldn't be able to come back up. So yeah, I don't know how long Rex is going to last. He might not even last until the end of this podcast, depending when they decide to make moves. But you know, I wish he would have got his first hit, but at least he made solid contact against Darvish. That's a win.
Yeah, he hit the ball hard. What's his name? That guy at the center field for the Padres, who I want to punch.
Grisham
made a decent play on it. Not a great play, but, you know, a lesser center fielder. Maybe that's a first major league hit, a double in the gap. But, yeah, it was good to see Rex. I hope, you know, it makes sense, I guess, that they called him up, because once you're on the 40-man roster, you're using an option year whether you make it to the big leagues or not. And so he's on the 40-man roster, so it made sense. If anything, it was a little surprising that they went for Souza before him, just because he was on the 40-man roster. Now, to get Souza off the active roster, they're going to have to DFA him because he doesn't have options. He's been in the league too long. And so they'll have to DFA him, which means they risk losing him to another organization. And that might be, you know, it might end up being that Souza is a short-term thing, but it does seem like they might want to kick the can down the road a little bit with Souza, knowing, okay, well, if somebody else gets injured, we can keep Souza on the roster longer or whatever. But like you said, they have to take into account who they're facing. And Belly and Muncy both this week, and Seager probably next week, hopefully next week anyway. They don't have that much time, and so that can only get kicked so far. But the good news is this is a good problem to have, because it means they're getting former MVP Cody Bellinger and future MVP Max Muncy back on the active roster, which I think will be a really good thing.
Yeah, in the case of obviously Max Muncy, you know, MVP candidate this year, getting him back is a huge boost to the offense. Bellinger can be a huge boost to the offense, hasn't necessarily been that this season. But the biggest thing with Bellinger being back is him out there in center field, Mookie back and right, and, you know, having the stronger defense out there. I'm not, in that first inning, the ball that went over McKinstry's head, I don't think Mookie gets that, but once the ball was off the bat, you're like, oh, you remember who's out there, and you're like, well, there's probably not a good chance out there. Whereas with Mookie, you have to think, like, there might be a chance that he catches that ball or makes a better play or gets a better jump and gets closer to that. So little things like that where, you know, Bellinger's not hitting, you know what, he'll occasionally run into one, and he'll do enough in the lineup in order to make it worth having his glove out there in center field, just like I said, because it makes everyone else stronger with Mookie and right, and then you move around the left fielders and the infielders, and, you know, you don't really have to do too much changes in center and right. You can kind of pencil those guys in every single day. I think that's the biggest boost that Bellinger gives. And then Muncy, you know, gives them that thump in the offense. I believe Robert said he'll play second base tonight since Robert Pujols will be starting with Snell on the mound. So, yeah, just right back into it. The one thing with Muncy, you know, they never really said oblique for sure, I don't think. Or at least, you know, they didn't call it an oblique strain. But as we know with the oblique, that it's a tender area, so hopefully the 10 days that he was off was enough and it doesn't linger or doesn't get re-aggravated.
Yeah, I think they did say oblique, but yeah, it definitely wasn't a serious one. They said from the beginning, Roberts immediately said he expected it to be 10 days, and that's what it's going to be. I wouldn't be surprised, you know, even though Gavin Lux has been playing pretty much every day, with getting some of these guys back, you probably want to have Chris Taylor's bat in the lineup, and so either that means Taylor in center and Mookie over in right, or maybe they give Lux a day off against Snell and put Taylor at shortstop. It'll be interesting to see what they do with the lineup, but you know, having Muncy back and then Bellinger back on Wednesday, both really good things, like you said, getting the strongest defense out there, if nothing else, and obviously that includes Muncy at first base most of the time, and whether that means Taylor at second or whatever, but right now, everything about just getting the regular team back, getting them playing together, get whatever rust needs to be kicked off, get that started, that process started of kicking off the rust, and then hopefully, you know, 2 or 3 weeks from now, we're looking at an entirely healthy team of guys who are done with their extended spring training and ready to actually start playing like the Dodgers can play. And it's pretty remarkable that they are where they are, second best team in baseball, record-wise, considering the injuries that they've had this year.
I think we've taken for granted a little bit how long Seager's really been out, because Lux has stepped up, because Taylor's really stepped up in that time, because it kind of coincided when Muncy started becoming, you know, getting more into that MVP race than he was before. So, you know, Seager's been out for a little while now, and the Dodgers played really well. Obviously, they played some bad teams, but, you know, you still got to win those games, and they were able to do so. And they haven't necessarily skipped a beat. But, yeah, like I said, in a couple weeks when they got Seager back, Belly back, and Muncy back, and if Seager, Belly can, you know, figure things out and get back into it a little bit faster than normal, the Dodgers could be rolling as a time, you know, out of the All-Star break, at the very least, hopefully out of the All-Star break, coming out with the full squad.
Yep. All right, we'll come back in a minute. We'll talk a little bit about how it is a long season and what that means to us as fans. So keep it locked on Dodgers. BetOnline.ag is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. As you know, or may have heard, last night the Dodgers were, for the first time in nearly 2 years, underdogs in a game. They hadn't been underdogs since the NLDS in 2019. Unfortunately, if you had followed those lines, you would have been right, because the Dodgers lost that game. But if you are into betting on baseball or any sports, BetOnline is the way to do it. Baseball season's in full swing, and you can track all the action at BetOnline. Get all the latest news, odds, and info for all your sporting needs, including MLB, NBA, NHL, and all your UFC MMA action. Before the next pitch, head over to BetOnline on your laptop or mobile device and check out all the great sporting news, sign-up bonuses, and contest information. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. This is your chance to get into the game as teams prep for their runs to the playoffs. Head to the website betonline.ag or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit with promo code LOCKEDON. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. RockAuto.com is a family-owned business serving auto parts online for 20 years. There's so many different kinds of cars, makes and models. If you go down to an auto parts store, they're not going to have the exact part you need. They'll either have a generic part that you can use, or they will order something in for you. Well, you can save time and money by using Rock Auto. Why would you spend 30, 50, even 100% more for the same parts from a chain store or car dealership? For example, Honda Odyssey, a fuel pump is $353 at the chain store, $216 from Rock Auto. I've had personal experiences that are even more extreme than that. With shocks for my Suburban, I saved over $1,000 by going through rockauto.com instead of through my dealership. And like I said, it's a family business. They've been doing it for over 20 years. Their prices are reliably low for every customer. No special pricing for mechanics. We all get their best prices. They have everything you need. Brake parts, tail lamps, motor oil, even new carpet for your car. Go explore their easy-to-use website today and find the solution to your auto parts needs. Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write "Locked On" in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need, rockauto.com. All right, so it's a long season, Vince. Last season was not long. There was a little bit more of a sense of urgency. We're already... we're probably at the point right now in the season where we'd be starting the World Series after this many games. But we are not even halfway through the season. And it's funny, we've talked before about how quickly we got used to the short season and we kind of had to readjust our expectations, understanding, oh yeah, it's a long season. And we've mentioned before, the fact that it's a long season is a good thing for a team like the Dodgers, and it's maybe a bad thing for a team like the Giants that is maybe tempting fate by playing a bunch of guys who are 100 years old. The Padres, we talked about, can they keep up this intensity and this excitement for a long season? You know, it all of that seems to work in favor of the Dodgers, but we kind of wanted to talk about what this means for Dodger fans, for baseball fans. You know, and I've said before, like, your team, your favorite team, is going to lose at least 50 or 60 games every year, even if they're a really good team. And, you know, sometimes it's going to be to the Padres and it's going to be obnoxious because the beat LA chants are stupid and, you know, self-owning. And obviously, you know, there's a lot of reasons why it's annoying to lose to the Padres. But overall, for me, and maybe this is just me getting soft in my old age, but you're 30 now, so maybe you're soft and old too. It's really important for me to remember that it's a long season. You know, sometimes you even have to remember it's just a game. It doesn't actually matter. But most of the time I can get by just remembering it's a long season. And over the course of a long season, chances are the best teams are going to win out. And the fact is the Dodgers are probably the best team in baseball this year. And as they get healthy over the long season, get rolling, things are going to be okay.
Yeah, I think, you know, in my older age, I've definitely tried different ways of handling things. I was never one to get too down after a regular season loss, especially in the last few years when we know the Dodgers are going to be in the playoffs. I think that's the very least, you know, we can think about right now, is that Dodgers are going to be in the playoffs when it comes to it, whether how they're in the playoffs. You know, they haven't had to do it through the wild card game yet. Hopefully they don't ever have to. But yeah, I mean, I tweeted it out. I didn't put any extra energy in this Padres series. I know that a lot of people get... It's frustrating because, you know, even when the Dodgers play the Giants, or when they play the Giants, you know, it's frustrating when they lose to the Giants, not only, even more so when I moved to the Bay a couple years ago and, you know, was around a lot more Giants fans, so it was definitely more annoying in that sense. And these are some of the games where obviously the Dodgers want to win every game, but the fans are definitely more into some of these games than maybe the Dodgers are. You know, the Dodgers, they're about to start a stretch, I think, where they play like 18 days in a row or something like that. You know, obviously they want to beat the Padres. Obviously they don't want to lose. But, you know, they know at the end of the day that it's only game 72 out of 162. And, you know, as long as they keep winning the other games that they're supposed to win, they'll be fine at the end of the day. So, yeah, I mean, the last season was kind of more fun in that sense where every game did kind of matter. And the Dodgers got off to such a hot start that it, you know, even though every game did matter, most of the time the games didn't matter toward the end because they were already ahead. But now you just got to relax a little bit. You know, Padre fans are a little bit annoying. Dodger fans are a little bit annoying too. You know, fans in general are annoying. You know, just depends what side you're on. But yeah, I'm not investing any extra energy in this series, particularly, especially the fact that the Dodgers can get swept and would still be ahead of the Padres.
Yeah, absolutely. And like you said, you know, this is something that all baseball fans are like this. I've been to games in 34 major league stadiums, and I can tell you every fan base is the same. There's a drunk idiot at every game. There's fights at every game. There's, you know, people dropping F-bombs and flipping middle fingers at people at every game. There's the wave at every game. There's not beach balls at every game. That's a Dodger thing. But, you know, every stadium does the wave. And every fan base is obnoxious, including our own. We, you know, just like every family has those people. And the people in your family who are idiots, you love them. And the idiots in other people's families, like, man, that guy's an idiot. You know, and it's the same way with fan bases. We see it on Twitter all the time. There's as much fighting between Dodger fans with themselves as there is with other fan bases. But you know, when you, I'm a big fan of the Dodgers approach to baseball. Like I like the Padres approach. It's fun. It's exciting for their fans, but the Padres are at a different stage in the competitive cycle than the Dodgers are. And so the Padres, Joe Davis even said it on the game tonight. This is the first week that fans have gotten to see a good Padres team in 20 years because the Padres just got good last year and fans weren't in the stadium. And then earlier this year, it was partial capacity. So the Padres haven't had a full stadium of people seeing a good Padres team in a long, long time. They are at a different stage. The Dodgers, we're at a stage right now where we expect them to win. Winning the National League West, while yes, it's the current goal, because that's what they're battling for right now, we're not going to be satisfied with that. If the Padres could win the National League West, their fans would be ecstatic, even if they then got beat in the NLDS. You know, we won the West, you know, the thing that they've been telling us isn't actually, doesn't mean anything unless you can win a World Series. And then when the Dodgers did win the World Series, they said that didn't count too. You know, it's almost as if fans have shifting goalposts. But mostly, I'm a big fan of the Dodgers approach. And the one thing that makes me glad I'm not a Padres fan is I don't want to do anything that makes me have to boo Justin Turner. How do you boo Justin Turner? Like, Justin Turner, and you're booing that dude? What a sad life.
Yeah. I mean, the beat LA chants were starting early on. And, you know, like I said, the Padres are different, in a different position. You know, realistically, their fans haven't seen them be in that competitive of a state in June, because last year the season didn't start till July and their fans weren't there anyway. So it reminds, you know, with the swag chain that they have, I talked to Javi about it yesterday, and, you know, the Dodgers, the bubble machine came up, and the Dodgers did used to have the bubble machine. And, you know, I think the Dodgers, you know, we've talked about this before, how they've kind of become a little bit different. Early on, you know, the Dodgers had been bad for a long time in the 90s and even in the early 2000s. And then 2008, 2009, back-to-back NLCS. But then they were out of the playoffs for a few more years. And then 2013, they started the string of NLS titles. But back then, you know, they were more kind of like this year's Padres team. They were a little bit more energetic. They had the bubble machine. They had, you know, different things. And as they've kind of evolved and those same guys kind of stay in the dugout, you know, the guys that come up are, you know, they come into a situation where they know it's going to happen. We've seen a lot of the rookies and young guys do very well. But it's a little bit different mentality. You know, they have the hand gestures. They do, you know, they still look like they're having a good time. But it's just a lot less energy expensing. And because they know that they're going to play in October and, you know, regardless of how amped you can get up every single game, I don't think, you know, Gavin Lux had to, what, drink like 8 coffees the other day just to get amped for the game. I don't think that's healthy over the course of a 162-game season.
Yeah, absolutely. And like you said, the Dodgers bubble machine was 2014, the second year of their cycle. And you remember what they were coming off of, not just bad teams. The Dodgers were in bankruptcy with the worst owner in baseball. Like, there was a lot of garbage at Dodger Stadium because of Frank McCourt. And so coming out of it with the excitement of Magic Johnson's group buying the team and then winning the division, you know, in dramatic fashion in 2013, you know, being terrible, and then Puig comes up, lights a spark, blah, 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 all that stuff. And then 2014. So they were like a year into their cycle. So yeah, I think that's a really good comparison. But I like where the Dodgers are right now. I like going into a season knowing the Dodgers have put a really good team together. They're going to be really good. They're going to, you know, obviously they still have to play the games. You don't win on paper. But going in expecting this team to compete for the World Series, I like that. And I like that baseball could be a little more relaxing. I don't have to be fired up for every game. I can just relax even when they lose. Don't get too low. Don't get too high. Just kind of enjoy it and save those emotions and that energy for October, because I, at my age, don't have enough energy to do 7 months of that. And I honestly don't believe that Padre fans do either and that Padre players do either. And I think that is ultimately going to be one of the things that I think they're going to run out of gas, their fans and their players a little bit, and hit a wall, because you can't maintain that for 7 months.
Yeah, I mean, realistically for them, now they hit a slide. They lost, what, like 13 out of 17 or something. They ended up redeeming themselves a little bit by sweeping over this past weekend. And then they get amped up for the Dodgers again. And I think that it goes both ways for the Dodgers and Padres. I know the Dodgers probably get a little bit more amped up to play the Padres, regardless of what they say in interviews or anything like else like that. We saw what the Padres did to them a little bit last season, you know, bothered them just enough. We're close enough in the standings at the same time to where, you know, it irked them a little bit. And then now, you know, the Dodgers probably get up when the Padres play, especially now that the fans are going to be crazy in full capacity every time they play each other. So it goes both ways. But yeah, I definitely think, you know, the Padres, they don't have, I mean, we've already seen that they don't have the necessary depth. We've seen Myers and Hosmer struggle. And regardless of how well they play against the Dodgers, they have to play well against all these other teams. And as they showed over the last month, they don't necessarily do that as well as the Dodgers have over the last month.
Yep. All right. I think that wraps it up for today. You have any final thoughts, Vince?
No, I'm good. I'm Snell and Kershaw. Hopefully we get bad Snell for the Dodgers and good Kershaw for the Dodgers.
Yeah, I won't be able to watch that one. I'm taking my sons and their friend to the Angels Giants game tonight.
Yeah, you get a rally monkey.
Yeah. Oh, are they giving away rally monkeys?
Yeah.
Sweet. I can burn that thing. Yeah, and so I'll probably end up watching the game on my phone anyway from Angel Stadium. But so tomorrow it might just be Vince. It might be both of us. We'll have to see. But thank you all for listening. We appreciate it. We actually dropped down to third place among the Locked On MLB Network's podcasts this last week. So let's get that up. Obviously, we'll try to do our part to bring you good quality entertainment. And if you have any friends or family who are Dodger fans, please tell them about us and have them start listening. We would love that. You can follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Locked On Dodgers. Vince is on Twitter at Vince Samperio. I'm on Twitter at Snydog. And the DMs are open in all of those places. Our email address is lockedondodgers@gmail.com. Our phone number, if you want to leave a voicemail or a text, is 323-863-LOCK 5625. We are here every weekday morning, and we hope you'll be here with us. When you get in your car or sit on your couch, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Dodgers. And remember, you don't have to agree, you just have to listen. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Have a good one.
Today on the Locked On Today podcast, what do the Philadelphia 76ers do with Ben Simmons? Get more of the sports news you need in less time with the Locked On Today podcast. Follow the Locked On Today podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get podcasts.
Say D. I say D-O. D-O-D-G-E-R-S. The team that's all heart, all heart and all thumbs. They're my Los Angeles, your Los Angeles, our Los Angeles. Do you think we'll really win the pennant? Bye!